To be at that first anniversary. You'll have to ask Brother Don Staten about that one. But I'm very honored to be here today at the 111th anniversary of Bible Baptist Church. So many things have changed. And really about the only people that really like change in a Baptist church are the babies in the nursery. And they kick and scream about it. But change is inevitable. We live in a life of transition. And for Bible Baptist Church, those transitions have been seen in the places that you've met. Probably very simple back in those early days to now meeting in this wonderful facility here in Mount Vernon. The people who have served this church, the dear saints of God who have now gone on to be with the Lord, to be with Him forever, who made their mark, have laid a foundation, and you today are reaping the result of their many years of faithful ministry. Many of you have gotten older. Can I get an amen? And that there are new people who are coming in to continue the great history of Bible Baptist Church. The programs have changed throughout the year. I imagine they would be amazed to find all the different ministries that are now functioning in Bible Baptist Church. And they might look with amazement on Vacation Bible School and Church Camp and even the worldwide reach of this church by its social media. The faithful pastors, many of you would not even know their names if they were mentioned, who served this church in so many ways and faithfully preach God's word. We live in a world of change. All over the place, there's changing that's happening, and so many things become quickly outdated and out of style. The cars, the clothes, the computers, the cell phones, they all are replaceable. And yet there are things that remain unchanged. And throughout the course of my time with you this week, today, as well as Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday nights, I'm going to be talking about the things that remain unchanged for this church in this now 111th year of ministry. Look in your Bible to Acts chapter 3. I want to break into a narrative passage that has so much for us today. But let me ask you to pay attention to the reading of God's Word, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go up into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Then look over in chapter 4 in verse number 5. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many of them that were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, this is Peter and John and the heel man, by what power and by what name have you done this? Then Peter lifted, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 111 years. People have come and gone. Trends have come and fads have faded. But ladies and gentlemen, it's still about Jesus. Amen. It's still about Jesus. Anything less than Jesus is not the message of the Bible. Anything less than Jesus is not the message of the church. It's still about Jesus. If we were able to go back in time to that first meeting, I am quite sure the one who was put to the highest place was Jesus. And if we're doing our job today, and if you're doing your job today here in Mount Vernon, it's still about Jesus. The single-minded devotion of those early Christians that made up the first and only church, the Jerusalem church, has a lot to teach us in the stained glass, air-conditioned, cushioned pew, video screen churches of our generation. All that first church had was Jesus, and that was enough. Amen. Today we're kind of the consumer generation. We have this consumer mentality. What can the church give me? What can the church do for me? And ladies and gentlemen, it still should only be about Jesus. And we need to just recapture, if we can, if there's any degree of that that's been lost. We need to recapture the fact that it's like that song that we've maybe heard, that maybe those first Christians believed and lived not knowing the song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus at the noontime, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. We need a lot of Jesus in our day. And I'm afraid we've got a little distracted about all the other things that are good, but they're not the best. I'm all for having great family conferences, and I'm all about stewardship meetings, and I'm all about prophecy and all the other things. But ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, it's still about Jesus. Louis Giglio reminds us that God's story has only one star, and it's not you and me. See, your community has a lot of needs. But the greatest need this community has is to know and trust and love and follow Jesus. That's why Hebrews 13:8 reminds us, Jesus the same yesterday, 2018, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus for 1907, and Jesus for 2018, and Jesus for tomorrow. Those early Christians were all about Jesus. They weren't arguing about pews or chairs. They weren't arguing about the color of the walls of the building. They were literally living and dying for Jesus. Jesus was their life. To live was Christ, and to die was gain. It's still about Jesus, the one Savior who saves. If you're here today and you happened in as a guest, maybe you're even a church member today, but you have really missed the message of God's churches down through the ages since Christ was on this earth, and that is Jesus Christ came from glory, stepped out of heaven, stooped to earth as a baby in Bethlehem, raised in the obscure city of Nazareth as an obedient son, taught as a teacher in Galilee and sweat drops of blood in Gethsemane, and died on Calvary and laid in a tomb of Joseph's and resurrected from the dead in order to save undeserving sinners and then to count you as his treasure. Do you know him today as your Savior? You know, that's an exclusive message. In a politically correct world, it's difficult for people to accept that there's only one way of salvation. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 in this passage says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now the world has the idea that there are many ways to be saved, but I tell you today there's only one way to be saved, and that one way is Jesus Christ himself. He's the only way. And if you haven't been saved, then you can be saved today, right here in this service, by inclining your heart toward God and trusting what Jesus did for you, receiving him into your life. In just a few moments, we'll actually invite you to confess your faith in Christ as a testimony to his goodness to you to save you. But it is inclusive as well. It's whosoever will.
That's right.
God will save you today. He hasn't put you on some cast-off list. He will receive you today. And really, to me, the only people that can't be saved are the whosoever won'ts. You can be saved today.
Yes.
You'll turn and trust Christ today. It's still about Jesus, the one Savior who saves. It's also still about Jesus, the one Messiah who fulfills all the prophecies of the Bible. When Jesus Christ asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? They had all kinds of ideas of what the public opinion was about Jesus. And then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter hit a home run with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is God's Messiah. He's the one promised to come to fulfill all of the Word of God that was stated about him. And it wasn't coincidence. It was divine providence that we would know that Jesus Christ is the core and heart of the Bible. The one Messiah. Jesus Christ is also the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The way you have access to God is not by your goodness or by your works, but rather by Jesus Christ alone. You're now accepted in the Beloved. And now you have a mediator between you and God. And now you who were at one time an enemy are now a friend of God. And that brings me to Jesus, your one friend who laid down his life for you.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus, our friend. Someone not distant, someone not barely acquainted, but someone dear and precious and intimate to us. And Jesus said to his friend, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and you're my friends. Oh, what a friend. What a friend we have in the Lord. It's still about Jesus, one high priest who presently advocates for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. It's still about Jesus, one Lord who reigns over all people. One Lord, one who's in control of all. One who is ultimately going to be answered to before all. He's always been Lord. He's only Lord. He's Lord of all. He's your Lord. Even if you're not obeying him, that doesn't diminish his lordship. even when the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, he's still Lord. And even the wicked, through pride of their own countenance, will not seek after God. He's still Lord. And if the foundations be destroyed, he's still Lord. If the fool said in his heart, there is no God, he's still Lord. Jesus is still Lord over all. It's still about Jesus, the one King who will return. Jesus Christ is coming again. And those of us who now are approaching the end of life, and we know who we are. We've seen our driver's license, right? We're approaching the end of life. It is a sweet and pleasant thought to know that we're going to enter into the presence of God before our Lord and Savior and King. And when he comes back, the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. Praise God for our King who's coming again. And it's still about Jesus, the one judge who will either pardon or condemn. All judgment has been given to Jesus Christ. And God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man that he has ordained. You will be either condemned or judged by him. You won't stand before my presence to be judged. You'll stand before him. And if I could give you a little advice, it would be this. You need to seek the mercy of the judge and settle out of court. You need to come today to be saved and have your sins forgiven and not face that awful end that so many people will face because they don't know Jesus Christ. It's not just been 111 years. It's been 2,000 years and Jesus is still alive and well. He's still saving people who turn to him. He's still healing those who are sick. He's still mending broken homes. He's still doing his wonderful work in the lives of people. I don't live in the best house that is in this world. I drive a real nice pickup because I'm from Texas. I didn't pastor the largest church in town. I don't wear the best clothes, they're always clean and I make them look really nice. I don't have the best retirement fund, but I've got more than I really deserve. And I really don't have the best health, but for a guy that will celebrate his 80th birthday 7 years from now, it's not bad. Some of y'all are just now figuring that out, aren't you? I tell you what I do have. I've got Jesus.
Amen.
I've got Jesus in my life. Well, a little seven-year-old boy began to pay a little bit of attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ along the way. The age of 10, on a January 1st, a holiday Sunday night, God reached into my life and convicted me and saved me that night. And I've always had Jesus since then. He hasn't always been number one in my life, but he should have been. And you and I need to realize today that while we're searching for other things that will fill up our lives, the only thing that will really fill us up is what we have if we have Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. And in the day that we read about in Acts chapter 2, there was evidence of what happened to a man who was not looking for it to happen. Peter and John were on their way to pray, and it's remarkable in the fact that the day before they had seen 3,000 people saved and baptized and added to the church of Jerusalem, and yet here they are the next day going to pray. And they meet a man, and what evidence was that here's a man that was changed. Anybody here been changed by Jesus? I mean, your life was going one way and God by his mercy changed your life. And in the case of this lame man, this man who couldn't walk, this man could not take care of his own needs, he's now not only on his feet, he's leaping and praising God because of it. And I want to tell you that a changed life can change the world. You're looking for a way to reach Mount Vernon? It'll be a changed life that Jesus has changed. What a miracle. The help people are looking for is only found in the name of Jesus. Salvation from hell and a purpose for life and assurance of heaven. Maybe you're thinking today, well, preacher, my life is so messed up that it surely couldn't be changed for the better. I'm going to tell you, it can be. And we could stand people here and we could ask people from days gone by about what God's done in their lives because of Jesus to change their life. It's the evidence of a changed life. And then there's the evidence of a changeless message. Peter, when he was asked about what this was all about, he said, don't miss it. It's about the name of Jesus. It's about proclaiming He, the one who died and was buried and rose again. It's about this timeless message. And while we would look very peculiar to that first group of people that met in 1907, and our vehicles would look different and our passion for the Wildcats would be unknown probably to them, the one thing that they would recognize is our message.
Amen.
It's the message of Jesus. And it's more than giving Jesus just a place. And really it's more than just giving Him prominence. It's about giving Him preeminence.
Amen.
Preeminence. All the songs that we sing should focus on the message of Jesus. And the prayers that we prayed are offered to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. And every offering that we give is for the proclamation of the name of Jesus here and around the world. And every testimony that we give is not about what we have done, but what Jesus has done. And we need to be occupied with Him.
Amen.
He's the physician that never lost a patient. He's a lawyer that never lost a case. He's the captain of an army that never lost a battle. He's the companion that's never lost a friend. He's a Savior that's never turned down a sinner today. That's why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You'll either do it now or you will do it later. You'll either do it now to your own joy and salvation, or you'll do it later to your own condemnation and regret. Years ago, I was visiting in a rest home and came to visit a lady who was a member of our church and who was confined to a nursing facility, and she was being occupied with a nurse at the time, and so I just slipped over to her room companion and began to speak with her. Her name was Mrs. Williams. And I said to her, "Mrs. Williams, I'm Mrs. Dent's pastor. Do you remember seeing me some time back?" And she looked and stared at me and she said, "I don't remember." And I said, "Mrs. Williams, when you were able to go to church, where did you go to church? Did you go to a Methodist church or a Baptist church, or what kind of church did you go to?" And she kept staring back at me with that empty look in her eyes, and she said, "I don't remember." And then I asked her the question. I said, "Mrs. Williams, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And her eyes brightened up, and a big smile came across her wrinkled face, and she said with assurance and joy, "Oh, I sure do. I'd be sweating it if I didn't." I want to tell you today, if you've got any kind of understanding of what's facing you in the days ahead and in eternity beyond, you ought to be sweating it if you don't know Jesus. You need to know Him today. You need to be giving Him the praise and the glory that He deserves because of His wonderful person and His wonderful word. And what's so incredible is Jesus is calling ordinary people to play a significant role in His story and in His glory. One day we will gather like this at this great homecoming with the millions of God's people who've been saved by the grace of our God and by the shed blood of our Savior. And we will all together bow down and give praise to Him who is our Savior and our Lord. I hope you know Him today. I invite you to trust Him today as your personal Lord and Savior, and that you would confess Him, and others of us who know Him, that we would give Him the due praise. And what a wonderful day this would be for maybe God's people in this service even to just thank Him for His sustaining grace for 111 years. For your church. This is His church. This is His church. This is His work on top of this hill in Kentucky. Yes. And we need to give Him the praise for that. Stand with me, if you will, for prayer. And following the prayer, we'll sing an invitation song. Brother Jeremy will lead us in that. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Dear Lord, so inadequately I have preached today to honor Your Son and our Savior and Lord. And God, there's just so much to say and so little time to say it. I pray that through the Spirit of God, taking Your Word and the power of Your words to the hearts of people, that today there would be a man or a woman or a boy or girl who would at this moment, at this very moment, would trust Christ as their Savior. I would pray for others who are saved and know that this would be a day of rededication, of reconfirming their walk with You and their love for You, and that they would again devote their lives to spreading abroad here in this place as well as the far reaches of the world, the name of Jesus. Father, today it will take eternity for us to know even partially what You have done for us through Christ. I pray that You'll break into somebody's life today. I pray that it might be a life-changing moment for all of us who are here. There are those who may be struggling in their marriage or in their homes with their children or with their parents. God, I pray that there might be people who would turn to Jesus today. He cares for us. He bears our burdens. He is with us. God, today, would You just speak to hearts for Your honor and glory? Would You begin to do a work today in this place like You've done so many times in days before? You'll get all the praise and glory for it. You're not only do that, You're the only one that should receive it. So we turn our attention again today to Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. While we're singing together, let's incline our